We come to an absolutely beautiful passage in Scripture this morning. Beautiful example for us. Beautiful truths for us. Let's pray. Lord, we have just asked You to look inside our heart. We sing it. And Lord, we mean it. We ask, Lord, that You would look into our hearts, that You would peer inside our hearts, that we would open our hearts up before You, that we'd lay our hearts bare before You. Show us our wrong attitudes, our wrong motives. Help us to be servants of Yours in our hearts. Lord, we thank You for Your tremendous blessing upon our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would be those who spread the wealth, spread the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The Barna Research Company did a study a couple years ago in the year 2000, and they came up with some pretty interesting findings about church attendance in America. In that study, they learned that 40% of American adults attend church in a typical weekend. 40%. They also learned that in a typical week, 60% of born-again Christians attend church. That was interesting to me. In a typical week throughout the year, almost half the born-again Christians aren't in church. But something that I found most interesting, their study revealed the top 10 reasons why Christians in America go to their church. The top 10 reasons that they're a part of the church that they've chosen, why they attend. Interesting. Number one, the theological beliefs and doctrine of the church. Number one reason why people go to their church. Number two, how much the people seem to care about each other. Number three, the quality of the sermons that are preached. Number four, how friendly the people in the church are to visitors. Number five, how involved the church is in helping poor and disadvantaged people. Number six, the quality of the programs and classes for children. Number seven, how much you like the pastor. Number eight, the denomination the church is affiliated with. Number nine, the quality of the adult Sunday school classes. Number 10, the convenience of the times of their weekend services. Top 10 reasons, and you know something? There are some important reasons in that list, but I don't see a response there that indicates that Christians in America go to a church because they feel called by God to go to that church and to be agents of blessing to that church. You don't see that in that list, really. And it's a sad statement, but it is true. In America, there's a consumer mentality when it comes to the church. It's almost like a religious church business. Many people go to church simply for what they can get, not what they can give. And you know, the truth of the matter is, we should go to churches for both. Certainly, you should want to be blessed and receive from the church that you attend. But if you're just receiving and not giving, you're out of balance. We need to be those that are wanting to give as well. I think it does speak of a deeper issue, a bigger problem. There are some Christians who view the Christian life, the Christian walk, the Christian experience as nothing more than a bless me club. Bless me. Bless me. God bless me. God give to me. God help me. I want to go to a church that blesses me. Everybody should bless me. It's a bless me club in many ways to many Christians. And that really is the wrong attitude. As a Christian, our attitude should be, who might I bless? How might I give? How can I become a blessing agent of the Lord? That's the right way. And the truth of the matter is, you will get a whole lot more blessing as you bless others than you would if you just wait around wanting to get blessed. So important. We're to be blessers, agents of God's blessing. And you know, we see a beautiful example this morning in the life of David. Here in this passage, we see King David as an agent of blessing. You're going to see a beautiful attitude. Now remember, he's the king of Israel. He's top man. He's the power. He's the political figure. He's the king. He's in charge. He's on top. But look at his wonderful attitude towards other people. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 9 says, "Now David said, 'Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?' And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.'" You see that beautiful attitude of David? Is there someone that I can bless? Who might I bless? Wanting to be a blessing agent. Specifically, he asks the question in verse 1, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" Who may I show kindness to? And that word is a very important word in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word hesed. Shows up all over the place in the Old Testament. 149 times it is translated mercy, 40 times kindness, 30 times loving kindness. The word carries with it the idea that it's an unfailing sort of love. It's a loyal love. It's a loyal mercy, an unfailing kindness, a loyal kindness. Now David is saying, who might I show unfailing love to? Who might I show mercy to? Who might I show kindness to? Look what he says in verse 3. "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Hesed Elohim. Who might I find someone to find to show the very mercy of God to, the very loving kindness of God, the unfailing love of God? As God is kind, who can I find so I can just show them that kind of kindness? The same that we see exhibited by the Lord. That's a beautiful way to look at life, isn't it? That's how we should be. As a Christian, who might I show the kindness of God to? You know, it is so wrong when a Christian man or woman is trying to figure out how they might hurt someone else. Or how they might try to damage another person. Or how they might try to retaliate or avenge themselves. That's so against what the Bible calls us to do. In fact, it's been said, the only people you should get even with are those who have helped you. That really is the right way to look at life. Showing kindness, kindness of God, consistently every day. Henry James, the great old fuddy-duddy and American novelist, was saying goodbye once to his young nephew, Billy. And he said something the boy never forgot. Now, here's a profound author who uses all sorts of words, but this is what he told his nephew. "Willie, there are three things that are important in human life. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. The third is to be kind." Certainly that is true for a Christian. We're living to be kind to others, to show the kindness of God. Look at what David asks again. Look at his question more carefully in verse 1. He says, is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul? Verse 3, is there not still someone of the house of Saul? Now, he's specifically looking for someone within the house of Saul, which I'll explain in a moment. But if they meet that criteria, then it's totally open. Anyone. Doesn't matter who it is, just anyone, I'll bless them. That should be our attitude. Anyone. And everyone. Someone. It's a different way to look at life. I think as Christians, you and I should wake up every morning, have some time with the Lord, and in our prayer time with the Lord, ask Him first thing in the morning, who might I bless today? Who might I show the loving kindness of God to today? And Lord, it doesn't matter. Anyone, bring whoever it is. Christians, we should maybe come to church with that same attitude, thinking, who might I bless today at church? Is there someone that I'll meet today at church who I can encourage, pray for? How might I bless? How might I give out? That's the right attitude. You know, some of you could go a long way to be used by the Lord in your office to bless some co-workers. People in your office that you could just bless. You know they're going through a need and you reach out in kindness. Or in your neighborhood. Or you know school is going to begin this next week. Some of you will be back in high school. Some of you will be back in college. Look for people on campus to bless. You know, especially those of you in high school. There's a lot of lonely kids out there. There's going to be a lot of kids in your school that will be looking for friends. There'll be a lot of kids in your school that will be getting bullied by the more popular kids. Do you join in or can you reach out in kindness? Can you bless? Can you be God's agent of blessing? Anyone. Even those who might seem little and insignificant in the world. How about the homeless man on the corner? The little man. Anyone. One person said, a great man shows his greatness by the way he treats little men. I think there's a lot of truth in that. While you're waking up every morning looking for who you might bless, asking the Lord, who can I bless today? Don't overlook or forget the obvious. How about your spouse? How about your children? Children, how about your parents? You know, so many things go wrong in a family, in a household, because so many members of that family may just be in it for themselves. And they don't give out. A husband might just want to take from his wife, or a wife just might want to take from her husband. And really, can you imagine what a marriage would look like if both husband and wife were waking up every day? How might I bless the other? How might I give to the other? So important. Anyone. Including people who have hurt you. Including people that maybe are in an unfriendly group to you. As Christians, we should be willing to bless them and be kind to them as well. Now, it says here that David, in verse 1, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul? He's specifically looking for someone in the house of Saul to bless. House of Saul, meaning the family of King Saul. One of his sons, one of his descendants. If you remember, David was treated pretty poorly by King Saul, wasn't he? In fact, King Saul had made David's life miserable for 15 years. Chasing David all around the wilderness. wanting to have him killed, made his life miserable. Isn't it interesting? David, let me find someone from the house of Saul who I can bless. Why would he want to do that? He might have thought, hey, good riddance. But he's specifically looking for someone from that family to bless. Beautiful example. That's hard for us to do, isn't it? Be kind to those who have hurt us. It is very hard, but you know what? It is the Christian way. We're told in the Scripture to repay evil with good. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, when you have heard that it was said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Think of that. But it's the Christian way. Who might I bless, Lord? Anyone. Anyone. And everyone. And someone. Even those that have hurt me. Why would the Bible tell us to be good to our enemies? Have you ever thought about that? Why? Because the Bible knows, and God knows something about us. If we can forgive those that have hurt us, if we can even get to a point where we might do good and be kind to those who have hurt us, that protects us. It helps us. If we don't forgive and we hold grudges, we'll become bitter and hard. In fact, Russ Ford, who was a chaplain on death row, said, Jesus didn't teach us to love our enemies for their good. It's for our own good, to keep us from becoming the enemy. Lots of truth to that. Be kind to anyone and everyone. It's the Christian way. Now, I want you to notice something else, though, that David says. You need to see another thing that's going on here. Verse 1. David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David is going to show kindness to someone in the house of Saul for another person's sake. Jonathan. Remember Jonathan? Jonathan was the son of King Saul. Jonathan became a best friend to David. They became best friends. He was very loyal to David. He stood up for David. And David and Jonathan had become such good friends that they had made a covenant together. May the Lord between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants be forever. In other words, David and Jonathan had agreed that they would be good to one another's descendants, no matter what. And so for Jonathan's sake, he's going to be good. He's going to show kindness to anyone in the house of Saul. He did it for Jonathan's sake. In the same way, my brother and sister in Christ, how can we be good to all people? Why can we be kind? How can we show mercy? How can we show unfailing love to other people for another person's sake? For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. That's how you can be kind. That's how you can see yourself as an agent of blessing. To anybody, no matter what they've done for you, you do it for Jesus' sake. He's blessed us and we just want to bless others for His sake. That is so biblical. That is such an important New Testament truth. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. That's how Paul saw himself to other people. A servant to them for Jesus' sake, on behalf of Jesus, as a messenger of Jesus, as an ambassador of Jesus. That's how you can be kind. We do it for another person's sake. Our Lord.
our Savior.
Well, David has asked the question, I want to be kind to someone. Anyone in the house of Saul. And he's asked this servant named Ziba. Do you know anybody in Saul's house that's still around that I can be kind to? Now, check out who he'll learn about. End of verse 3. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, in Lo Debar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness, hesed, unfailing love, for Jonathan, your father's sake. David learns about a son that Jonathan had. His name is Mephibosheth. Kind of an interesting name, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is going to be the recipient of David's blessing. Mephibosheth is a very interesting character in the Bible. He's very symbolic. And the thing that you need to know right off is, I think you can see just by reading the text, this man was so undeserving of David's kindness. Mephibosheth was an unlikely recipient. He was an unlikely candidate. He had absolutely zero to give to David. Nothing of any worth to offer David in the least. Completely undeserving. Unworthy. And yet this guy is going to receive the blessings of David. Blessings from the king. It's beautiful. He was so unlikely for a number of reasons. First of all, Mephibosheth was born into a rejected family. It says that Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. He was from the house of Saul. He did fit that requirement. But remember that the house of Saul was basically a family that had been rejected by God. Saul was the first king of Israel. And if you remember, even way back when we started the study in David, God had rejected Saul as king and was going to replace Saul and put David on the throne as king. But Saul was rejected, and in a sense, his entire family rejected. Jonathan would not go to the throne because his father, Saul, was rejected. Mephibosheth, this man was in line for the throne, for the kingdom. Rejected. Born into a rejected family, this Mephibosheth. And he was born into a family that had even been hostile to David. He had that going against him. Mephibosheth also had nothing physically, really, that he could have given to David. I mean, it says there in the end of verse 3, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. This guy was crippled, physically handicapped. Either he couldn't walk at all or he had trouble walking. He would have been no use as a general. He would have been no use in the military capacity. He was lame. He was crippled. And in those days, boy, couldn't do much. I think it's interesting how Mephibosheth got crippled. We know why. We know how it happened. Leave a finger here, and I want you to turn to chapter 4 of this same book, 2 Samuel. Just a few pages to your left. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. It says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. 5 years of age, Mephibosheth took a fall. Crippled in his legs ever since, even into adulthood when he grows up. Interesting why that happened. It says, little 5-year-old Mephibosheth, there he was with his nurse. King Saul and Jonathan, they're still alive. They're fighting for the nation of Israel. And you remember, they were killed by the Philistines on Mount Gilboa. And when that news got to the nurse, she got Mephibosheth out of there. She made haste. Why? Because in those days, when a king was taken off the throne for whatever reason, and a new king was going to come on the throne, many times the new king would slaughter the family of the old king. Get rid of any heir to that kingdom. Take care of it. And no doubt this nurse feared for the life of Mephibosheth. So she's getting him out, and while she's making haste, tragically the 5-year-old stumbles and becomes lame. And he grows up into this man who's still crippled, and physically he would have nothing really to offer David. Go back over to chapter 9 again and notice some new other things about Mephibosheth. Notice where he's living. Verse 4, the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar." I want you to take note of that city. Lo Debar. It's an interesting word. It's a word in the Hebrew that simply means this: no pasture. No pasture. He's living in a place that is known as pastureless. In other words, it was barren. For a number of years, this guy hid himself in exclusion, really, in a place of barrenness. And you know, as the son in a line of kings or kings apparent, he would have had access to all the estate of his father and his grandfather. But he's lost all of that. Now he's living way out in the middle of nowhere in a place called no pasture. Barren country. Nothing there. And it's thought that Mephibosheth hid there. He didn't want his presence to be made known to King David. Perhaps he's still thinking that if King David would find out about me, he might slaughter me. So you see Mephibosheth away from the king, hiding from the king, possibly even a little resentful of the king, afraid of the king, terrified of the king, lame from a rejected family, living in a place of no pasture, afraid of the king, hiding from the king. You know, Mephibosheth was completely and totally at the mercy of King David, wasn't he? He had absolutely nothing to offer King David. And even Mephibosheth will recognize that after he's blessed later on. He'll bow himself before David and he'll say, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" That's how he saw himself. "I'm as worthless as a dead dog, David. Why would you bless me so much?" But David will. David will show such kindness, such blessing to this man. you're going to see that David essentially adopts Mephibosheth as his own son. Let's read and see what David exactly does. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. This is David almost, in a sense, going overboard. This is pouring out so much blessing on someone who doesn't deserve it. It's unbelievable. Just gushing kindness into this man's life. Showing the unfailing love of God. That's beautiful. So many ways that he does it here. First of all, I want you guys to notice, David took the initiative. Mephibosheth would have never have come to David on his own, you think? Never. If that man was going to be blessed, David would have to initiate it, and David did. He sought him out, he called him forth, and he's blessing. David initiated the blessing. My brother and sister in Christ, I think you and I should be aggressive blessers. Let's be aggressive blessers. Let's not only just notice people who need something, but let's really go after it. And you know what? Let's aggressively try to find needs and meet them. And initiate them. One of the things that I've learned over the last 5 years in ministry and dealing with people, I've noticed that many people are afraid to let their needs be known. I don't know why that is, but I think there's many people, even many Christians that I met, they're a little embarrassed. They're ashamed to let their needs be known. And so many times they'll keep very quiet about something that's going on in their life, something that they need, something that they need help for. And I have found that many times I have to really initiate. I have to get active. I have to aggressively find out what a person needs. Sit them down. What do you need? Talk to me. Open up. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Let your needs be known. That's true. And you need to understand that about your brothers and sisters in Christ, Christian. People at work, people in your community. Lots of people will keep their needs hidden. And if you're going to be a blessing agent of God, you need to be able to go after those. Initiate it. Do you know anybody in your life well enough to know what their needs are? Is there anybody here at church that you know well enough that you even know what their needs are? You should. If we're going to be agents of blessings, many times we need to get aggressive about it. A few years back, this was such a blessing to me. There was a young man at our church here, and he went into car problems. Had lots of car problems, and you know, it was his only car. He couldn't get around to work. He couldn't get anywhere. And some families in the church caught wind of it. You know what they did? They pooled resources. These families in the church just sort of put money into a pot, and what they did was they got his car towed to a shop. And then they paid for all the repairs. That's blessing. That's people who are aware of their surroundings and their brothers and sisters in Christ, ready to do something about it. Here's something else I found out in the last several years in ministry about people. I've also found this out. God's people are more than willing to meet needs. All they have to do is know about them. I have seen God's people rally around to meet the needs of other people. But they need to know about it. You need to let your needs be known. Many times people don't respond to general needs. They respond to specific needs. Let's be looking. Let's read between the lines. Let's see where people are hurting. But those of you who have needs and you're too embarrassed or ashamed to meet it, to let people know, hey, God oftentimes wants to use His people to bless His people. Make them known. Cry out for help. You may be surprised. Look at how else David showed kindness. He initiated, but look at verse 7. David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness." David calmed his fears. Now, of course, Mephibosheth was terrified. He probably thought, "I'm going to be executed." First thing David said to him was, "Hey, do not fear. I'm going to show you the loving kindness of God for Jonathan's sake." Beautiful, huh? Reassured them. One of the ways we can show kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the ways we can show love and mercy, is to calm the fears of people. Reassure our brothers and sisters in Christ of biblical truths and hope. Be looking for people like that. What else David did? "I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually." Verse 9. The king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house, everything that Mephibosheth had lost." David restored all of it. Beautiful. David, in a sense, said to Mephibi, "Hey, you've been living in no pasture for so long. I'd like you now to live in good pasture. The kingly pasture. You're going to get it all back." And then David communicates to this man, "Not only am I going to restore everything back to you, but I'm going to provide continually for you now and for your whole future." He tells Ziba in verse 10, "You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. That's pretty neat. He gives him all this estate back. And then he says, "Ziba, you're going to take care of it. You got a new job. You serve Mephibosheth now. Your 15 sons and your 20 servants will be dedicated to working his land. I will take care of you." 4 times in this passage, David specifically says that Mephibosheth shall eat bread at my table continually. As one of my sons, Mephibosheth comes from a place of no pasture. Oh, is he coming into a place of good pasture now? He'll eat the rich foods and the bread from the king's table. He'll be in the presence of the king. This man was totally at the mercy of King David. Good thing, huh? Because David was merciful and kind. This is beautiful. This is the way of the Christian life, my friend. This is the godly example. Blessing others and being extravagant about it. Pouring it out. No limit to how you'll bless other people. Oh, it's so refreshing to see. It's such a beautiful picture. Man, when you place that example right up next to the Christian who says, "Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. Who can bless me? Where can I get blessed?" They're a part of the Bless Me Club. It's just so pathetic. Isn't it? It really is the difference between mature and immature Christians. I look at Christmas so differently now as a dad of 3 small kids. When I was a small kid, Christmas was Bless Me Club. Give me gifts. Look at my gifts. Oh, more gifts. I want more gifts, Mommy and Daddy. But now as I'm older, now as I'm a parent, my joy is to see my kids open their gifts. I've grown. I'm an adult now. I've matured. Christians need to mature like that. They need to grow from a state of being immature as a bless me, take, 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 receive, receive, receive. I only care about my needs. They need to move to a level of maturity where they see themselves as blessing agents of God. How can I give out? How can I bless? Listen, no question about it. God wants to make you a blessing to other people. And He's so good at that. Oftentimes He'll take a person who's kind of wasted and squandered away life and kind of made messes of their life, and He'll change them and He'll turn that person into a blessing to other people. And you see it throughout the Bible. And that's His goal. One of my favorite promises in the Bible is the promise that God made to Abraham when He called him out in Genesis chapter 12. Listen to what He told Abraham. You'll remember this, but the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." And He says to Abram, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You see the twofold purpose of God in a person's life? First of all, to bless the person. That's what God wants to do. He says, "I want to bless you." And then the second part, "I want to turn you into a blessing for other people." That's it. God has blessed us so much, my brother and sister in Christ. You know, we really don't have to sit around going, "Bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord." But we've got it. We've got all the blessings of God. Now we need to be going, "How can I bless? Who might I bless? Anyone today that I could bless? Someone today in my life that I might bless? Because we have been so blessed, haven't we? I want to remind you just a little bit of how much God has blessed us. This chapter 9 is so symbolic. Mephibosheth is a good picture of the human race, the human condition. David's treatment of Mephibosheth, very symbolic of God's treatment of us. Mephibosheth took a fall, became crippled. You know, the Bible says that we took a fall. Human race fell into sin, and because of that, we've been crippled spiritually. We got nothing that we can offer God spiritually. Mephibosheth was born into a family that was rejected of God. You and I have been born into a human race that has, in a sense, been rejected by God. Bible says that because Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, his sin spread and death spread to all people. And so when we're born today, when people are born into the human race, they're born into a sinful condition, a sinful state. Mephibosheth was living in a place called No Pasture, and before we are touched by God, you'll live in a place that really is no pasture. It'll be a barren sort of place. It'll be a barren existence. Mephibosheth had lost all that he had coming to him, all the wonderful blessings in the estate. Oftentimes a person, a human being, will absolutely destroy their lives because of sin. They'll wreck families. They'll wreck their finances. They'll make a total mess of their life. Many people like Mephibosheth, I mean, in the human condition, you're far from God. Many people even try to hide from God. Many people are afraid of God. It's interesting that when Martin Luther, became a priest and celebrated his first Mass in 1507, it says that he trembled so much he nearly dropped the bread and cup. He became so terrified of the presence of Christ in the sacrament that he tried to run from the altar. See, people who don't know God, they're distant from God, many of them are terrified of God. Some try to hide themselves from God. Some just say, "Oh, I just won't believe in God. He scares me so much, he must not exist." In the human condition, we try to hide from God. Mephibosheth had no future, really. And so the human condition, apart from God, doesn't have much of a future. But what does God do? Like David did with Mephibosheth. We have fallen into sin. We are crippled spiritually. But the Bible says that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you will become born again. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be healed spiritually. Yeah, we are born into a rejected family, the human race, because of sin. But listen, God reaches out to us, and if we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sin, and we ask Him to be our Savior, Bible says He'll make you an adopted son or daughter. You'll become someone who can say to God the Father, "Abba, Daddy." You're no longer far away from God. You're up close. You're on the inside. You're in His family. Like David restored everything from Mephibosheth, so many times God will restore our lives, change our lives. restore marriages and families and build lives back up again that have been broken down. Oh, it's beautiful. I've seen him do it. He can do it again. We don't have to hide from God anymore. The Bible says if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, don't hide from him. In fact, it says the opposite. Run boldly to him. Come boldly into the presence of the King. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be afraid of the judgment of God. The Bible says you have heaven awaiting you. And the future is bright because the Bible does indicate that at the second coming of Christ, there's going to be a feast. There's going to be a time where everybody sits down with the King and you'll be invited. You'll eat bread with the King for eternity. Oh, how kind. How much we've been blessed. Let's be blessers. Let's bless others. Let's reach out. Maybe there's someone here this morning who never knew that God was so kind. He is. He'll blow you away. Maybe you're the one who always thought God was that guy up there trying to get you. Just trying to take away all your fun. People think of God like that. They don't know the blessing they're missing in knowing God, who pours out His riches and His blessings upon us, who wants to fulfill our lives, change our lives, give us hope. Maybe that's you. You've never responded to the kindness of God. You respond to His kindness by opening up your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. By recognizing that the Bible teaches the problem with mankind is sin. We fell into sin and we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve death and punishment outside the presence of God. But God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay your punishment, your penalty. To die on the cross for your sins. Rose again that third day. Alive today. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. To be your Savior. You get all the blessings that we just detailed here. Have you ever responded to the kindness of God? And you have to do it personally. Now I want to give some of you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. But again, let me say to my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning, be other-centered. It's a whole different way to look at life, waking up every morning. Who can I bless? In the name of Jesus. It's the right way. Who can we bless along the way? There's a story that comes to us out of the long ago of a king who organized a great race within his kingdom. All the young men of the kingdom participated. A bag of gold was to be given to the winner, and the finish line was within the courtyard of the king's palace. The race was run, and the runners were surprised to find in the middle of the road leading to the king's palace a great pile of rocks and stones. But they managed to scramble over it or to run around it and eventually to come to the courtyard. Finally, all the runners had crossed the finish line except one. But still, the king did not call the race off. After a while, one lone runner came through the gate. He lifted a bleeding hand and he said, "O king, I'm sorry that I am so late. But you see, I found in the road a pile of rocks and stones and it took me a while and I wounded myself in removing them." Then he lifted up the other hand, and in it was a bag. He said, "But great king, I find beneath the pile of rocks this bag of gold." And the king said, "My son, you have won the race. For the one who runs best, the one runs best who makes the way safer for those who follow." Isn't that a beautiful story? God has things that He wants you to do, but you know what? He wants you to bless others along the way. whoever might interrupt your day. Let's be used by the Lord. Let's spread the wealth. Let's spread the blessing, shall we? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we do want to spread your wealth, your blessing. You've been so good to us. And Lord, right now I want to pray for anyone here in this service, right now, who has never personally responded to you for themselves. You've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Maybe you're toying with, maybe you've been kind of toying with the idea. People have been telling you about it and you've been kind of refusing it. You've been thinking hard about it, but right now is the time. Open your heart right now and you'll see your life totally change. And really, what you really need to do with the Lord is do what so many people have a hard time doing. Just admit that you need help. Help me, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I want to give somebody a real opportunity to do that. If that is you, if I'm speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you need to indicate that. You need to do something that will cement it in your heart. And I want you to just, I'm giving you an opportunity right now to lift up your hand. You raise up your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, yep, that's me. I want help. Raise up your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? One person said, "Yep, I want the kindness of the Lord. It's too good of a thing to pass on." Anybody else? Maybe you just raise your hand up. God bless you. I want to lead you in a word of prayer right now. This is how you get saved. This is how you become brand new. You simply ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of all your sins. Say this prayer to Jesus in your heart. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins. Make me born again. Change my life. Fulfill my life. And now turn me into a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you for raising your hands and the Lord will change you. I'd like you to come forward after we sing and just share, just so I can share a few things with you. Just a few words with you. Let's stand and rejoice together. Let's light the fire. To be aggressive blessers.
Live. bless you. You guys have a wonderful week.